Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me. Yesterday, or the day before, we began a message I've entitled Called to Greatness. And as I shared, greatness means there's greatness applied in terms to of abilities or talents. The definition is remarkable in magnitude or degree or effectiveness, distinguished, remarkably skilled. This is, of course, can be applied to anyone who's a great in any discipline of man's, the arts, the sciences, history. There's so many areas where people excel because of the talents and gifts God has given them, whether they acknowledge that or not. But another definition of greatness, and that which concerns us as God's children, means markedly superior in character or quality. It implies that the standards that we follow are different than those of the world. Our character, the reasons that motivate us, the reasons that we do things depend on our value system that we have, which is based on the Word of God and the will of God. And so let me just share again, I did yesterday, I believe, Jesus called them unto him and said, he's talking about his disciples, he gives the definition of greatness. Ye know, he goes on to say, that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Praise God. So that's the Lord's definition of greatness. However, I thought I'm one given to definitions because I think that's important for us to understand what the very meaning of a word is. And I'd like to read the definition of courage. And it's an old Middle English word, and it means, from the French, I guess, heart or spirit. And listen to this. It says, the attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful instead of withdrawing from it. It's the quality of being fearless or brave. Praise God. So, and it goes on to say, the courage of one's convictions refers to the courage to do what one thinks is right. So that, and sometimes there's a price involved in that. And so we are not like the world. Our modeling, our mentor, the person we look to for inspiration, of course, is Jesus. And so that desire, that need for being courageous is something that is needed when, as by definition, something is painful or difficult or requires something, a stand, not just on a physical level, but emotional in terms of the courage that is needed in your circumstances. In fact, that's one of the things I just want to clearly mention, that there's personal bravery, which is required in terms of physical harm or danger to oneself. And there's many examples given in the Bible. I won't take the time to turn, but just if you know your Bible, this would bring to memory some of the things that obviously required a lot of personal bravery, because their lives were in their hands. And remember when Moses sent the 10 spies to go and check out the promised land, only Joshua and Caleb had a good report. Why? Because there were giants in the land. There were fortified cities. I mean, they, in fact, their comment was, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb, while they saw the very same things, they advised Israel to go in at once and possess the land because they knew God was for them and that he would go before them, as he certainly did. And then we see Gideon, he had thousands in his army, and it was basically reduced to 300. So there was no way that even their bravery and courage could be attributed to the great victory that God gave them. They were attacked by Confederate armies of the Midianites and Amalekites that numbered into the thousands, like 30,000. And then, of course, there was Deborah, who led Israel's armies to victory. Remember David? All the army of Israel, they were trembling in their boots, if you will, because of this great giant Goliath. And Saul was just, he wasn't exactly sure what to do. And they were being mocked that because Goliath was just ready to do battle just with one of them. And if he was victorious, then of course they would be defeated. But David had courage to face, just as a young boy, not with a sword and a shield. He went with 5 smooth stones and killed Goliath. And when he did, he cut off his head. And then, of course, Nehemiah, when he went back and there was a rebuilding of the temple, when there were enemies that came from surrounding areas and gave him many threats and tried to get the current king to turn against him, he refused to take refuge in the temple. And of course, there was Esther. She was a Jewess. She went to the king to save her people. And unless he had given the okay, if you will, she would have, it was not permitted for anyone to do that. And then, of course, when we think of the death of Jesus, there were members of the religious group, Joseph of Arimathea, who was willing to make his statement, and the fact that he was a follower and cared for Jesus, he went and asked for the body of Jesus that he could place it in his new tomb. And then, in spite of all the warnings that the Apostle Paul received, he knew in his spirit he was determined to go to Jerusalem despite the bonds and imprisonments that was awaiting him. In fact, there was even prophetic words, and they were trying to discourage him. The disciples were, to have him not go there. So there's the courage in face of personal cost or danger. But then there's, in today's world, at least here in our nation, in the times we're living, the courage of conviction. And sometimes there's a great price to pay, to stand firm in what you know as a child of God, as a godly person, to do that which is right in spite of risking the disapproval of others. And you can't look around much that without realizing that in today's world, it's becoming increasingly unpopular to be a Christian. And we know that all the great heroes of the Bible, look at Abraham. He left the land of his birthplace, his fatherland, the Ur of the Chaldees, and was willing to go where he wasn't certain exactly where God was going to take him. And then his willingness of all things in his old age, when he finally had a son, God promised him heirs. And as he got older and older, it seemed totally impossible. Well, that's, God specializes in the things called impossible. He was willing to sacrifice Isaac. Why? Because the New Testament says he trusted God's word so much that God was willing to raise him from the dead if necessary. And so, of course, there was Gideon. He destroyed the altar of Baal, certainly a very unpopular thing to do. And then there was Ezra. he sought the king, and he was undertaking a perilous journey to Jerusalem. There were robbers and many things that could have been that could have dangerously happened to him in a physical way, but he wanted to show his conviction that he was going because his God was with him, and he journeyed from Babylon with the king's guard. And then, of course, in the New Testament times, there was Peter and John. They refused to obey man rather than God. In Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 29, let me read that. In fact, it was Peter and John, and they were taken captive and imprisoned, if you will, and they were very bold. They perceived, the religious leaders, that they were ignorant men. They marveled. They took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And they couldn't deny that a notable miracle had been done, and it was obvious to all those who were in Jerusalem that it couldn't be denied, but they didn't want them, in fact, they commanded them, verse 18, they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. And of course, they said, Peter and John answered them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto to God, judge ye. So they said in verse 9, as they were praying, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the holy name of Jesus. So they refused to bow their knee to man. And then in the fifth chapter, verse 29, it says, and Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so that is the courage of one's convictions, regardless of the price one might have to pay. It's better to obey God than man. Amen. Well, my time is quickly coming to an end, and we will continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you also, if you have prayer needs, feel free to it, whether you email, if you'd like, I will pray for you and confirm receipt. If you'd like a personal answer, I'd like you to share your mailing address so I could respond personally to you. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.